Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome into the show this morning. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Looking forward to speaking with you today on all sorts of topics relating to public policy, the Christian faith, free markets, peace, liberty, the founding fathers and their principles, etc., etc. We have our phone number here at the station, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Also, your questions and comments may be sent to us via email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, we have an exciting show today because we have so many articles and so forth that have been emailed to me, the Tyranny Response Unit, to discuss on a wide variety of topics, and we're looking forward to an opportunity to get into some of these themes. But on a lighter side, open up with a lighter side, I thought I'd read something to begin the show today from a book called Unusually Stupid Americans, A Compendium of All American Stupidity. Some of this stuff is just downright funny. There's a chapter in here called The Idiot Next Door, where it has various different displays of idiocy in America. And this one says, Dairy Queen worker accepts $200 bill, gives $197 in change. A clerk at the Dairy Queen in Danville, Kentucky, accepted a $200 bill from a customer who bought $2.12 worth of food. The customer received her change and drove away. Not only is there no such thing as a $200 bill, but the note in question had on the back an oil well. while on the front was a portrait of George W. Bush, and on the White House lawn were signs reading, "We like broccoli." We like broccoli and rooms not for rent. Sorry for cracking up in the middle of that. Can you just imagine how it would be going into a Burger King, giving somebody a bill with George Bush on it with $200 and somebody giving you $197 in change? Folks, that's funny. I got to admit, that's funny. And doesn't speak very highly for the Dairy Queen workers of America, but then again, what would we expect? In other news this morning, we have encouraging emails coming in to the show. One is from Elizabeth. She didn't want me to read her whole email on the air. Just wanted to let me know that she was listening every day locally here in Greenville. And we appreciate you listening, Elizabeth, with your two children. Sounds like you're enjoying the show and appreciate the encouragement to hang in there and do well as we begin the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. She was actually replying to some comments I made yesterday regarding the webcast. We do have a webcast, folks. If you go to policyofliberty.net or you tell your friends to go to policyofliberty.net, there's a link there that says listen live to Dr. Coben's show. Obviously, if you click on that link, it's going to pop up your media player or whatever you use to listen to sound files, and it will begin playing for you crystal clear and live the Tyranny Response Network and especially the show Christian Worldview Today. Currently in the queue, because we have the capabilities of watching who's there, not who's there, but how many people are there, we have one person currently logged on the web. We'd encourage other people to do so. Look forward to being able to spread that word around to folks to check out the webcast at policyofliberty.net. We also had our first real negative comment yesterday from a listener. So far at our network, we get at least one, maybe two on average, nice notes or encouraging comments from somebody every day about our programming, and we're very pleased about that. We just want to make sure we're doing the best job we possibly can, not only serving the cause of truth, but in reaching the greatest number of people possible, even with our very limited resources, which currently is just the webcast and the recorded show, and also our broadcast live in Greenville, South Carolina. Someone said, well, maybe it's just a little bit too negative. You know, this whole week we've had things about the public school, and for those of you who've been listening for the last 4 or 5 weeks, You realize we don't only bash the public school in here, but we do talk about a lot of other issues. But somebody said, well, look, you know, it's every day has been something bad about the public school. Well, I you're right. It has been something bad about the public school every day. I mean, it's mostly driven by news stories rather than just pure theoretical principles. A lot of stuff goes on bad at the government school, and so I've been talking about that. Well, somebody said, well, maybe this is just a little too negative. You might be driving a certain number of peoples away from the show. And we don't want to drive people away. We just want to deal with the issues of the day and talk about the truth, a wide variety of subjects, not just government schooling, but other things as well. And it reminded me of a scripture passage from 1 Kings 22, verses 7, or really just verse 7 and 8. This is Zedekiah and Jehoshaphat, Zedekiah the king of Israel, the wicked king up there, having a conversation with Jehoshaphat, the southern king, the king of Judah, about the prophets of the Lord and about the battle they were about to undertake with the Syrians. And Jehoshaphat said, the Bible says, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? So the king said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Well, here is an example, and by the way, we are making no illusions at the Tyranny Response Network that I, the Tyranny Response Unit, am in any way a prophet of the Lord. Just want to make that real clear to you all. But the principle is this, that sometimes people get so hateful of negative comments. And here we have the king of Israel, who was a wicked man and needed to told a few things about it in a very negative sense, complaining. Oh, I don't like that guy. He comes in here and always says things that are bad about me. I hate him because he doesn't ever prophesy anything good concerning me, only evil. Well, folks, the problem in America is today is not the good things that happen. There are many good things that we see. We see generous people. We see Christians doing good things. We see other people who are not Christians doing good things here. And we have to appreciate that. We also have to appreciate that we live in a society that is relatively free versus the enslaved societies, the purely enslaved societies of the totalitarian leftist regime, Soviet Union, past Soviet Union, and Eastern Bloc, and now at Korea and other places, and certainly the Islamic countries. We're thankful for these things. But let's face it, folks, our liberties are being eroded. We have to say something negative about those who are perpetrating such things. We have to bring it to light because no one else does. The modern news media is pointing you in a different direction than what we're pointing you. We're trying to help you see that George Bush is not a great guy, that he's not a guy that's out there to help the Christian church or to benefit the kingdom of God in some way, and that people who voted for him were misled. I'm sorry that it's offensive that the Tyranny Response Unit thinks you were gullible and misled, if that's the case, but indeed it was the case, and I don't know how other way to say it other than you made a mistake. I'm not saying you can't be forgiven or things can't change or that you're damned to hell or something because you voted for George Bush. I'm simply saying Christians in large measure were taken by this guy. They were taken by this guy who did not want to help the church. This is a man who's not helped not only the church, but has not helped the cause of righteousness, as people thought. He's not stopped the abortion of children. Probably dollars in the picture too here, but 4,000 unborn babies are murdered every day in the United States. There was an insane war going on in Iraq now, where hundreds of thousands of people have died. Many thousands and thousands are innocent, probably hundreds of thousands. Well, at least 100,000 are innocent, although that figure is disputable. George Bush now has his eyes and his sights on Iran and possibly North Korea for the next great battle that he can undertake. All these things, undeclared wars that continue to plague our nation. Well, folks, these are things that have to be brought to light because no one else is doing it. We need to say something about the erosion of liberties, the erosion or the rise of tyranny in our country as it continues to foment. And I wanted to share that with you today. Let's be careful of getting down or putting down people as negativists when they're trying to simply to teach people the realities of what's going on in public policy. And remember, too, folks, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. We have lots of positive and other nice comments and things and stories we talk about on the show here that relate to interesting artifacts of history that we don't really know about. And these certainly wouldn't be considered a negative comment. They'd be considered very positive things. So just wanted to share that balance with you. If you have any comments about that, we'd love to hear from you because we want to hear from our listening base. You can reach us at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, or by all means, send your comments by email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember today, folks, if you've got any $200 bills in your wallet, go ahead and run down to Dairy Queen and just try it and let me know. I'd really like to see how much success we give. And of course, you'd have to give them the money back after you pulled away. You know, come back a half hour later and just talk to the manager, give them the money back, and but it'd be really fun. Do we know where to get one of these $200 bills? I'm going to have to ask some of my production staff if they can round me up a $200 bill, or maybe we'll even be unique and go for a $250 or a $300 bill and see how well it works. We're on the Tyranny Response Network, and this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're glad you've joined us this morning. Remember, if you're not listening between 7:30 in the morning and 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time, you're listening to a recorded broadcast, and we're delighted that you're doing so. We need people to continue to listen to our recorded shows, but do send us an email and let us know that you are listening. You can do that, do so, and send those comments to questions@policyofliberty.net 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The phone number here is 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. Remember, we are a show dedicated to the exposure of tyranny, the promotion of liberty, and the promotion of a Christian worldview, that is a thinking worldview. And we are encouraging people to, or trying to help people to not be, as this book says, unusually stupid Americans. I really I can't put down this book after reading about the $200 bill. I just happened to read in here a couple other ones I'll share with you, and hopefully not crack up while I'm on the air too much here. A bank teller deposits $1 million bill. This is on page 255 under a subchapter called The Idiot Next Door. A woman approached a not amazingly astute teller at the First National City Bank of Newport in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. She gave the teller a single bill, $1 million. The teller didn't bat an eye, just took the bill and credited the woman's account for $1 million. For the record, the largest denomination note in circulation is the $100 bill. Okay, folks, well, we don't want to hear any listeners from Christian Worldview, anybody who's been educated by the Tyranny Response Unit working in banks to be accepting $1 million bills. No $200 bills, no $1 million bills. Here's another one. Woman opens spray can with electric can opener. Now, it's not no cracking up in the peanut gallery here. The broadcasting staff is on edge here, the production staff, I should say. A woman in Leonia, New Jersey, in February 2003, suffered second- and third-degree burns from a fire which broke out when she tried to open a spray paint can with an electric can opener. Fire officials were uncertain of a spark from the can opener set off the flame. The woman did not explain why she was trying to open the spray can with a can opener in the first place. Folks, we want to tell you here on Christian Worldview, you heard it first, do not open your spray cans with can openers of any kind. No electric can openers, no manual can openers, and just don't even bother bringing your spray cans in the kitchen in the first place with the intention of opening them. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, maybe we'll read a few more of those things in other shows. That's pretty funny. Unusually Stupid Americans, a compendium of all American stupidity. No doubt they were not homeschooled or went to a good Christian school who were doing such things, I would assume. Unless they were passing the $1 million bill or trying to pass off the $200 bill, they might have gone a little renegade on us, but at least they're smart, know how to pick their victim right. Ugh. Today we're going to read a little bit more from the esteemed Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, by the way, are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, often forgotten by Americans today, hated by the media, despised by the administration, who tries to continually subvert our rights. In the recent shows, we've read the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and today we're going to read the Third Amendment, which says, "No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law." So the third article prevents them from putting soldiers in your house, and this was, of course, a major problem right before the War for American Independence from England, when the British soldiers were being forcibly installed into people's homes at great expense to the people there in terms of their time, privacy, and perhaps their food and other goods. So beware, folks, of that thing happening again. However, just to know, our Third Amendment does protect us from that tyranny from the state. We have a couple other quips, too, here from P.J. O'Rourke. We read him occasionally. In fact, most every show we try to get something in from P.J. O'Rourke. And in his book, All the Trouble in the World, The Lighter Side of Famine, Pestilence, Destruction, and Death, he says, "Advocating the expansion of the powers of the state is treason to mankind." Advocating the expansion of the powers of the state is treason to mankind. That's an intense statement. It may be satirical, it may be funny, and it may be a quip, but I'm going to tell you, folks, there is nothing else that could be truer than what he's saying. The state has been the greatest enemy of the Christian church. The state has been the greatest enemy of mankind in general since its inception. Just because some states become more benign than others or more restrained by the people that they try to govern, as in the case of America, where we have these renegade, like the Tyranny Response Unit, patriots, Confederates, gun nuts, and so forth, running around opposing these, what they do. The fact of the matter is that states in the history of the world, if we look at the whole globe, from the Chinese to the Russians to the Arab countries to certain South American regimes, these have been terrorist-type organizations, professional, as Albert J. Knox says, a professional criminal class that has tried to subvert people's rights and do great harm and injustice in the world. That reminds me of Albert J. Knox. We want to read that great quote we have out of his book, Our Enemy, the State. We haven't read that. that for a while. I keep it live in my special TRN folder just so I can just bear in mind and be reminded frequently of this particular concept of the professional criminal class of the state. He says, so far from encouraging a wholesome development of social power, it has invariably, as Madison said, turned every contingency into a resource for depleting social power and enhancing state power. That's the state that does that. As Dr. Sigmund Freud, who we don't normally like here at TRN, by the way, but everybody gets it right sometimes, apparently, as Dr. Sigmund Freud has observed, it cannot even be said that the state has ever shown any disposition to suppress crime, but only to safeguard its own monopoly of crime. In Russia and Germany, for example, we have lately seen the state moving with great alacrity against infringement of its private monopoly by private persons, while at the same time exercising that monopoly with unconscionable ruthlessness. Taking the state wherever found, striking into its history at any point, one sees no way to differentiate the activities of its founders, administrators, and beneficiaries from those of a professional criminal class. With one exception, they're elected. Nobody elects the mafia. They just come over and threaten to break your kneecaps unless you pay them off. And they might even give you better protection, by the way, than the United States government gives you. But nevertheless, the main difference is that these people are elected. They go through a ballot process, and because of that, many Christians believe whatever they do is okay, and they are no longer criminals. This is simply not the case. There is no way to differentiate the activities of these tyrants from the mafia or any other professional criminal class. If we look at many, many of their policies. We've come up against another break again. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. This is Dr. John Coben. Again, welcome back to Christian Worldview. The phone number here is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. I just was reading the Freeman Ideas on Liberty Current Issue, January, February 2005. You really all should get this this publication. Go to fee.org and order it. I believe it's free, or maybe there's a small donation required. Great monthly magazine. We enjoy reading it every month when it comes in. The people like in there, like Walter Williams and Tom DiLorenzo, and many others who are writing great stuff in this publication. There is an article that I wanted to read real quickly to you, at least parts of it. "Selling the Free Market to Non-Believers" by Ralph Hood that appeared this month. I thought was of interest. He says, "During most of my life, I have failed miserably to turn so-called liberals into free market advocates. Perhaps that was my attitude. If you weren't so stupid, you could understand. It's a poor way to sell an idea. I guess it surely didn't work for me. Lately, to my amazement, I have had some success. Two Presbyterian ministers have actually come around." That's really amazing when Presbyterian ministers come around, by the way. "To agree that Adam Smith was right. One of them now maintains that Smith's invisible hand is provided by God, and that suits me fine. And one NASA rocket engineer has come around on some ideas, if not all. There is a reason for this heady success. I have changed my tactics. I decided to quit arguing with liberals and instead began to explain the market from their side of the fence. For example, when the subject of National Public Radio comes up, that's NPR, by the way, I no longer call it a socialist plot. That never worked, at any rate. Instead, I readily admit that I personally love public radio. It is, in fact, my favorite radio network. I listen to it all the time, but it does make me feel guilty. The astonishment on the other person's face is priceless. Guilty? Why would you feel guilty? Well, says I, NPR is, after all, a subsidy for the upscale educated people, and I just feel so sorry for the poor folks working to pay for my choice of radio programs. I just can't figure out why some fellow flipping hamburgers at minimum wage in Seattle should pay for the music I want to hear in Alabama. It doesn't seem fair, somehow. After all, I'm not forced to pay for his rap music. Ah, fellow believers, it would put joy in your heart to see the confused look on the person's countenance. He is shaken to the core and is prone to walk away, shaking his head and muttering. Likewise with tariffs and quota, I have never figured out why liberals seem to be in favor of trade restrictions, but many are. Several, in fact, are in my Sunday school class. They were blatantly uninterested when I explained that trade quotas raise the prices that all of us pay for sugar and other products. They figured that it was just Ralph spouting off about money again. Now I take a different tack. Tariffs and quotas on imports just seem so unfair to the poor people of third world countries, the very people that our church supports with foreign missions. That confused look comes back with a touch of wariness this time. They have grown suspicious. Unfair in what way? Well, gosh, here we are giving money to them as a church and as a nation to help them out of their desperate plight. Yet we deny them their most basic fundamental right, the one thing that most likely to ease their life, the right to sell us their products. And we do that just so a few Americans can get rich selling us their products at higher than world market prices. Liberals are not accustomed to defending their position when you point out how said position costs the poorest of the poor. They really do believe that the free market is for robber barons and for rich folks. Interestingly, I have never, ever had a liberal come up with a satisfactory answers on these subjects. Try it. You'll like it. Well, thank you, Ralph Hood, for that very entertaining and nice perspective on how we can be more sensitive and trying to educate the liberals of this world, the far hard left, and bring them over to our side. Sometimes it's just the way you frame things, perhaps, folks. And we would encourage you to give it a try and let us know at the Tyranny Response Network how effective you are at talking to your liberal buddies. This is Dr. John Coben on Christian Worldview. We've come up against our regular show break here. Before we do, though, I want to give you one piece of information about the Times Examiner. I want to plug this newspaper here from Greenville, South Carolina. Times Examiner can be picked up at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville, South Carolina, 29609. $20 a year is the subscription price. 864-268-0576 is the phone number. If you call Bob Dill or Laverle there, they'll set you up on a weekly subscription, $22 out of state, $20 in state, that has the great columnists like Walter Williams, Joe Sobrand, Phyllis Schlafly, Thomas Sowell, yours truly, and many others, including guest columnists like Stephen Yates and other regulars like Ben Graydon. Good stuff for reading, folks, and you can't beat the price. $20 a year. Call Bob Dill at 864-268-0576, and he'll set you up with a subscription. This is the Tyranny Response Network. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview. We're so glad you've joined us. You can reach us at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We'd appreciate your calls and comments to the show this morning. We'd like to interact with our audience. We know that some of you have written in and said, Dr. Coben, I don't know what to say. I don't want to call. I'm so enthralled and entranced by what you're reading or talking about. I just want to sit at your feet and listen. But listen, look, folks, we really do appreciate actually caller interaction. Believe it or not, sitting behind a microphone and just blabbing takes a special – well, it shows that you are really a special kind of person that has long marathon-style lungs is about it. But we do like to have interaction from listeners because it helps us get focused, understand where people are and what they're thinking about. And if you have a question or something that comes up or a comment, it might be of interest for someone else as well. So don't think that it's not worth calling in and talking about. Stop what you're doing for a second and just give a call to the show and join us here on Christian Worldview. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're also able to send us questions and comments by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, getting right into a couple of other things, we have some people have been sending us faithfully, and we appreciate it, articles. And on LouRockwell.com, Mr. Lou Rockwell himself wrote an article called Moderates and Radicals. Again, you can find this on LouRockwell.com. Moderates and Radicals. He says, in all times of state dominance, the instability of the system gives rise to two types of reformers, the moderates who want to work within the system but end up defending it, and the radicals who have the clarity to see that the only real solution is upheaval. If the latter prevail, and they often have in the history of politics, it is only after having endured the slings and arrows of the former. The history of liberty is strewn with heroes who courageously championed radical reform. But in every case I can recall, these same people were traduced and reviled not only by the regime, but also by the moderate reformers who always claim to be working within the system. The moderates say that their efforts are being frustrated by the voices of the radicals who are said to discredit the cause they purport to support. This line of attack was used against the French liberal economist, that's classically liberal economist, Frederick Bastiat, and it still is. And so it was with A.R.J. Turgot, the liberal reformer who served as a finance minister under Louis XVI. Simon Scamma says that his position in favor of radical reform discredited the efforts of the moderates. It was said of Cobden and Bright as they sought to embarrass and disgrace the government and its bread tax. Their erstwhile allies constantly sought to muzzle them with the idea that their extremism was harming an otherwise respectable cause. So it was for Patrick Henry, one of our founding fathers, who was urged to drop his agitations for revolution and latter his attacks on the Constitution. F.A. Hayek was dogged by complaints that his radicalism was losing liberty more friends than it was gaining. Ludwig von Mises faced a blizzard of critics from the German classical liberals who somehow came to believe that liberalism's greatest enemy was a scholar who refused to compromise. And he goes on and on talking about the great names and champions of liberty in the past and how difficult a row it is for them to hoe, especially because of the moderates, nowadays called the neocons, the people who are out there actually believing they're doing what's right for the cause of the right and the truth, and end up defending the establishment, the state, the left-leaning policies, the liberty-denying policies of the current regime. And so we have the neocons jumping up and down and happy that George Bush was elected, as if somehow things are going to be improved and the American situation will take a turn for the better. Nothing could be further from the truth, and those of us who are willing to stand up against it and decry this movement are often criticized by these moderates, so-called moderates, as being, antithetical or hurting the cause. Folks, this is not the case. We need to be careful to stand for truth in an uncompromising manner. We are the ones who will stand out in history, if it were recorded in history at all, as being the true defenders of liberty, not the neoconservatives and not the so-called moderates, either in the state or in the media or elsewhere. So beware of that, folks, that tendency. We want to expose that here on the Tyranny Response Network. We have an email also that came in this morning from Joseph, who describes himself as a servant only to Jesus Christ. He said, "Hi, John. This is Joseph that called in with having difficulty in receiving the broadcast. I took the quiz, and it turns out that I am theonomy." I think you mean you are a theonomist or a Christian Reconstructionist. I thought a pattern was developing about once. I thought a pattern was developing once about five in a roll was A. I think he's saying that he thought a pattern was developing once he saw that five of his responses were multiple choice letter A. I did, however, see that B was many times almost the answer as well, and only one time might have equalized to A. Where do you stand on this? Thanks, Joseph, a servant only to Jesus Christ. Well, I appreciate very much the email. Now, yesterday we appreciated the call, Joseph, calling the show and saying that you were having a little bit of difficulty listening. I believe it was in North Carolina, Sevierville, or something around there. Well, at any rate, on policyofliberty.net, on the front page, there is a link that says, take the quiz. If you go to the policyofliberty.net homepage, scroll all the way down, you'll find there a link that says, take the quiz. And if you click that link, up will pop a self-guided 15-question quiz, multiple choice, A, B, C, D, with explanations for answers. The first five questions will indicate for you what Christian school of public policy you belong to, whether it be the competing kingdom view or the integrated authority school. Competing kingdom school or the integrated authority school. Each of these schools is broken into two different views, and those views can be determined by taking the next 10 multiple choice questions on the quiz. It's a pretty simple quiz to take. You simply read the statements, and which one seems right to you, select that particular letter. And in the case of Joseph, it sounds like he went down and found out that consistently he held to the Christian Reconstruction or theonomic position. That position is a very intellectually appealing position to many people, and in fact, I would have to say that no one has done more scholarly work as a view than the Christian Reconstructionists. And we appreciate their views in many respects here on the station, although I hold to the liberty of conscience position that differs from this view. I have to admit that I can not only admire, but glean a lot by reading theonomists. In fact, just the other day, we read a great comment from R.J. Rushdoony, one of the leading theonomists, who was talking about the different kinds of slavery in the Bible and trying to help us understand what Paul meant when he says, look, if you're a slave, don't worry about it, but if you can be free, do it and get out of it. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. That's all 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 21 through 24-ish, around that area, in case you want to look up the reference. Well, there were different kinds of slaves, and Rushdoony was excellent in his comments and being able to point out that there is this distinction that has to be made, and we have to understand a little bit more besides just taking on its face, well, all slaves are the same, and Paul must be talking about people that volunteered into servitude, people who were there because of debts, people who were slaves because of a crime they committed, or people that were just kidnapped and forcibly put into slavery. There's a difference because of the nature of the kind of slavery. Well, that was an interesting comment. And so, well, as I said, we have theonomists that we can glean from, and we do appreciate very much that you took the quiz, Joseph. I stand at the liberty of conscience point of view because I do not see, let me back up here a minute. Although I see a lot of virtue in the policies that theonomists would impose or would stand for, including free markets, certainly free markets, I don't go so far as to say that the state is part of the kingdom of God or part of something that can be used to bring in the kingdom of God. I think that's what Pastor John Weaver said on one of the recent recorded shows here on the Tyranny Response Network. I don't see that the state has an integral role in upholding any of the Old Testament law for a nation. And I think that's probably one of the most fundamental differences between the Liberty of Conscience school and the Theonomic school. However, I will also say this, that historically, theonomists or Christian Reconstructionists and those who hold to a liberty of conscience point of view have been the best of friends. And that's probably why here at the Tyranny Response Network, we have both working side by side for the same cause. In the American Revolution, or the War for Independence against England, it was the Presbyterians and the Congregationalists who held to a theonomic point of view who were first to resist King George. But who joined them were this mass of Baptists and disparate other groups who held to a liberty of conscience point of view. They had a different idea about what the state should ultimately be or the government, but yet they had so many similar convictions that they were willing to set aside those minor differences and fight side by side and go forth into the battle. The same thing, I think, is widely true today between those who are pro-life libertarians like me and those who would prefer to be in the Constitution Party. For me, there is very little difference between the two parties. In fact, in a recent column, which you can go to policyofliberty.net and click the articles link and see, or you can just read the Times Examiner and read it every week, in this recent article, I point out that 90%, perhaps, or more, of the platform of the Constitution Party is appealing and agreeable to a pro-life libertarian. There are very few issues, and in fact, they tend to be somewhat minor on the broader scale of things, that differentiate the two. And therefore, we see the same thing again. Those who tend to a more theonomic or Christian Reconstructionist position having a lot to do with those who would want a hands-off approach to the state being no good, evil part of the kingdom of Satan, as liberty of conscience would say, and let's make sure the state is as limited and restricted as possible. So it's interesting that you brought that up today, Joseph. I appreciate you writing in, and I do appreciate you taking the quiz. We would encourage others to also take that quiz. Go to policyofliberty.net and avail yourself of that option there. Also, there's some other links there, such as the deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. You should click on that link, take a look at those deep questions, think about them, call in about them, or write in about them by sending an email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. We're coming up against another break here on the Tyranny Response Network. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans and need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Sure, Welcome back to the show. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Just a reminder, our phone number is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You can dial us between 7:30 and 9 in the morning. That's when the show is live. Otherwise, please do send an email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, we're so happy to see that more people have joined us on the webcast this morning. We have now increased by 200% since the beginning of the show. We have 3 people listening to the webcast. We appreciate you doing so. Please spread the word to others about the webcast. I was just talking to one of the postal workers here in town yesterday, because I know one postal worker just loves our show, Gus, who's constantly writes in and helps us. I won't tell you where he's at, because I don't want to disclose any more about Gus, although he may well want to himself one day and call in and identify himself as the true radical and supporter of freedom and liberty that he is. But he apparently has been spreading the word at the post office. And at the post office, we find out that other people are listening to the Tyranny Response Network. The one fellow at the window said the other day, and you may be listening now, and I appreciate it. Hey, enjoyed meeting you. Thanks. We think it's a great show. One of the best things I've heard on the radio, and we appreciate those encouraging remarks, and we hope that you'll continue to listen, continue to spread the word. If you have trouble getting reception, the best thing to do is get a computer, simply go to the policyofliberty.net webpage and click on the link that says live. Your little media player or whatever you use to play sound files will pop up, and we'll play the show live right through the internet with crystal clarity, and we'd encourage you to do so. Thanks for listening on the webcast. We were talking about theonomists and liberty of conscience based on an email we just received from Joseph, a caller yesterday. We appreciate that, him writing in and talking about that. We also had Greg, who sent in a quotation from Gary North regarding, and who is a theonomist, regarding his father-in-law, who was R.J. Rush Dooney, another theonomist, of the famous variety. Now, Greg did not give me the citation for this, and I'm going to have to tell Greg on the air here, if you're listening, if you are on the recorded show or otherwise, please send in the cites, folks, not just Greg, all of you. I would like to be able to read a lot of this stuff on the air, but I preferred it that it have an authority or some sort of reference where we can go back and say, yeah, this is from Christian World Net Daily, or this is from such and such a magazine, or such and such a newspaper, or such and such a book. And in this case, I imagine this is from a book. And it does tell us something about the character of Rush Dooney, and you can probably see why there would be such a strong affinity between somebody like Rush Dooney, say 80% of what he says, and those who love free markets, those who are pro-life libertarians, those who are in favor of the liberty of conscience school. Listen to what he says. Rush Dooney took the Ten Commandments as the ordering principle for the whole of biblical law, Old Testament and New. He analyzed each of these case laws in terms of the Decalogue. He considered which principles carried over into the New Testament era and how they should be applied to modern life. He concluded that civil government must be shrunk drastically to meet biblical standards, so that the free market and voluntary social action will flourish. He was an Austrian school proponent in most of his economics views, and his footnotes to Mises revealed throughout his career. Ludwig von Mises, Friedrich Hayek, and Murray Rothbard, these are Austrian school people. And those of us who are pro-life libertarians or who love liberty love the Austrian school of economics. In fact, my field of study for my doctoral degree was called Law and Austrian Economics. So certainly I favor that, and I appreciate the fact that that Rush Dooney did, and I know Gary North does as well. And that's why there is so much affinity between the two schools. We have so much in common, especially when it comes to the majority of our economic views and public policies that would be related to economic themes. Appreciate that email and sending that in. Just next time, Greg, send the source so we know where people can find that reference in one of North's books or articles or wherever it might have been. We also have something related to this. A Fox News story today says there was a prison riot in Argentina. You may say, why does that have anything to do with this? Well, I'll tell you why in just a minute. Buenos Aires, Argentina. A riot broke out in a penitentiary housing 2,000 prisoners in central Argentina late Thursday, leaving at least three inmates dead and two dozen guards hostage, authorities said. Police said negotiations were being conducted early Friday in an attempt to peacefully end the violence. At least two inmates and two members of prison security detail were seriously injured in the rioting, police said. Well, here's the question for us. Are prisons a biblical thing, a good thing, something that liberty lovers should desire? I believe that both those who hold to a liberty of conscience point of view and a Christian Reconstructionist point of view, and maybe other views, would agree that they should not be. The whole idea of a penitentiary came from the pacifist school, which we haven't talked a whole lot about lately, although we did have a pacifist article we read online here several days ago, because they just don't chime up. We don't hear too much from the pacifist crowd. But at any rate, they believe that people become more penitent. It was sort of a Quaker ideal that if you set them in a little box in a cage and they had a time to think about their sins and how wrong they did, they become penitent, change their ways, and self-reform. Well, folks, we don't buy this, those of us who hold either the theonomic point of view or in my case, the liberty of conscience point of view. We don't see that the heart of man is changed by contemplating his navel, or if he sits in an isolated cage for a while, he's somehow going to become better. And therefore, the prison system is inherently corruptible and simply not going to work. It's going to become inefficient, ineffective. And what we find that prisons do is just create more criminals and make criminal behavior more intense, not only inside prisons, but outside after they are released. And so here we have a prison riot in Argentina. I remember in Argentina, prisons are not a great place to be. It's not like, you know, the country club or club fed or whatever you want to call the American prison system. They have television and decent food and, you know, a job they might do. Well, it's not as fun to be in prison here, but I'll tell you what here, folks, it's a whole lot better being in prison in the United States than it would be in a place like Argentina. Remember, in most Latin American countries, torture is still allowable and practiced, and we find people not only tortured, but they're also abused in many respects. And some places, even in Latin America, if your family doesn't bring you some food, you're just going to starve to death in there. Well, anyway, there's this 2,000 prisoners rioting there, and we can't really expect other than that sorts of things to occur when you try to, you know, coop up a bunch of men in cages for long periods of time. We say, well, Dr. Coben, if we don't have prisons, what do we use instead? I mean, if we got criminals, you know, you don't want to just kill them all if they just steal something. It's not right to murder or chop off their head because they stole a loaf of bread. Well, no, we're not saying that the penalty should be so severe. But what we would suggest and would argue, and I think, again, both those on the Christian Reconstructionist front as well as the Liberty of Conscience front, would look for market-based solutions such as involuntary servitude. You know, if a guy, it sounds funny to say that as a market-based institution, but it is in the sense if you live in an organized society and people know the rules, if they decide to become a thief and steal a bunch of money from you and, you know, they're in debt to you, put them in slavery for you, for your service, for, you know, a couple of years or whatever it takes to pay off the debt. What's wrong with doing that kind of restitution rather than having taxpayers be extorted and force them to pay for a guy to be holed up in some cage for a number of years? That just costs them more money or other people more money and really does not recompense the wrong that's been done. So there's an example. We can also have, although I'm not in favor of our state performing it, capital punishment for crimes that require people to be put to death. For instance, murder, maybe even those who commit abortion. That's really radical. Did you say that people that commit abortion should be put to death? Well, listen, folks, if I'm going to be in favor of murderers being put to death, at least in theory, then why would abortionists be any different? Now, I'm not saying I'm in favor of the state putting people to death, because the state is so inherently corrupt and given to payoffs and pandering and so many other things that it puts innocent people to death, that I'm not in favor of the death penalty as it stands administered by our modern state. But in theory, if we could have a just means of capital punishment for those vicious criminals that take the life and of other people, for instance, then I would be in favor of it. Theonomists, I think, have not resolved the problem of how you'd get a good state before the post-millennial era to resolve these conflicts. But nevertheless, it is an interesting topic of discussion.
Oh, Dr. Coben, you are beside yourself.
Yes.
Much learning hath made you mad.
It's so true. And it's just sitting behind this microphone simply just drives a guy nuts. I'm telling you what. At any rate, this is an interesting topic. If you want to talk about prisons and you have a comment or opinion about that, please do call the show, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We have another email that came in. I believe this was also from Greg. He says, "We have met the enemy," and he's quoting a person named Lynn Nofziger in her Musings book, one of Reagan's former staff members. She says, "We have met the enemy. Since the 1930s, the federal government has done nothing but grow, expand, intrude, involve, tax, and spend. It is fashionable for conservatives to blame presidents, congresses, and judges for the current state of affairs. But in truth, that's not where the blame lies. The blame lies with us, the people. The fact is, a majority of Americans approve of what has happened, what is happening, and what the future appears to hold. And the minority that doesn't like it is not willing to take up arms against it." What a great quotation. Thanks for sending that in, Greg. And you can find that in her book, Musings. She was one of Reagan's former staff. Reagan really didn't do anything to shrink the size of government, but I'll have to give the man credit for one thing, even though it costs a lot of money by going with the Cold War and really employing all the strategy necessary to bring down the Soviet Union. He saved millions from further misery, torture, and death in the Eastern Bloc. That's a wonderful thing. You have to give credit where credit is due. And certainly, even though it was an expensive way to do it, pulling that many people out of misery was a worthwhile thing to do and very pleasing. "We have met the enemy. The enemy is us," she says. "We're not willing to take up arms against it, against the majority and their love affair with the statist policies that we currently have of their intrusive involvement, taxing and spend policies. Government's getting bigger." That's a negative comment. I know it is. What can I say? Government does not get smaller by political action, folks. It's never happened in the history of the United States or in the world that I know of. I don't know everything about history. Maybe you can come up with an example where actually good, peaceful protesting and voting and things like this actually made government get smaller and get off your back and give you more liberties. The only way I've ever seen these tyrants take a back seat or be pushed back to where they belong is by force. And it only happens during revolutions. The only time I know in the history of the world where it's actually made progress towards liberty, whether it's the founding of the great country that we live in 1776 and afterward, or in places like Chile. The only way you got rid of the communist is when he's under attack by the army. You've got to have some upheaval, as Lou Rockwell reminded us of earlier in the show. Otherwise, it just doesn't seem to work out very well. Great quote, Greg. Thanks for bringing that in. He also sent in an article from Doug Patton, and this is from the Gun Nut Department this morning. Doug Patton writes in an article, "Armed homes are safe homes. Recently, three young criminals in Omaha were looking for a home to rob. Their criteria included an interesting condition. Pointing to a particular target, a townhouse in the northwest part of town, one person told them, that house has no guns. And since Nebraska has no concealed carry law, they could be fairly certain that none of the residents would have one on their person either. Shortly before noon, last November 11th, the three punks, all of whom did have guns, of course, broke into the townhouse, demanded money, and other ordered residents to the floor during a struggle in the hallway. All three intruders fired their guns, killing Trevor Lee, a 23-year-old aspiring stock market analyst. The only person arrested in the case so far, 20-year-old Ryan Poe, has said that he and his buddies went into the townhouse with the intention of committing a robbery and fired their weapons at a man who fought back. Apparently, Trevor Lee was the brave man, brave, but unarmed." Well, that's a very sad and tragic tale, folks. These folks that want to disarm us in the government are in the media or the leftist activists. What can I say? It's a tragedy. The Second Amendment is here not so much that we can just protect ourselves and go deer hunting, although they're very important. They're there. It's there to protect us from the greatest tyrant, the greatest robber of all time, which is the state. That which tyrannizes us more than anyone else is the federal government and even our state governments. The state is indeed our greatest enemy. Here we have a case, though, where because of the ideology, prevailing ideology of the day, this man was unable or did not think it necessary to arm himself. And what a tragedy, as brave as he was, to die at the hands of these thugs that entered into his home. Well, if you enter into homes of people that listen to the Tyranny Response Unit, beware. Unless you're a friend, you might get shot. People are armed. We do believe in having guns, and we are glad that we have them. And we would encourage all of you to support gun rights because, hey, it's your freedom, pal. Without a gun, you're not going to be free. Government will not be your friend for long. It will become the great tyrannical monster that it always has been. And that's its tendency unless it's forced and kept back into its cave. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. We're coming up on a break here. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back, and speaking of more gun nuts, we have here police. Burlington resident shoots home invasion suspect, February 7, 2005, from staff reports, emailed to me by Greg. Posted 7:45 a.m., Burlington, a man authorities allege participated in a home invasion, was shot in the upper torso early this morning by one of the residents he was trying to rob, police report. About 1:30 a.m., Burlington police responded to a report burglary in progress at 1109 Rosenwald Street. Officers found a man later identified as Telly Richmond. Is that kind of like Telly Pizza? Telly Richmond, 22, of 231 Care Chapel Road of Burlington, lying in a front yard to suffering a gunshot wound to his torso. Richmond was one of the four men who entered the Rosenwald Street home and tried to rob the residents at gunpoint, police said. Interesting, we have here a case on the opposite side. Hurrah for this man, this valiant man in his home who had his own gun, and when he's threatened by these robbers, pulls it out and shoots. Too bad the other fellow, Trevor, age 23, the aspiring stock market analyst, didn't have a gun. Now he's in his grave because of these thugs that entered his home. Anyway, there's always two different ways and means and to describe such things. It happens, folks. People enter homes. People try to rob you. Get a gun. We're in favor of guns here to protect us from predators. The greatest predator, of course, as I mentioned, being the professional criminal class in the United States government. We also have a couple of emails from Chuck. Haven't heard from Chuck in a while. Appreciate Chuck writing in. to the show, and he has a couple of things to say. First of all, about the Bill of Rights, he says, "Hi, John, I appreciate your reading of the First Amendment from the Bill of Rights on Wednesday. It is very important, and I am glad to hear you talking about it, and I have been very encouraged and educated by the work of We the People Foundation for Constitutional Education at www.givemeliberty.org. This group has been trying to resurrect the lost right to petition, which involves the corollary responsibility of the government to respond. It has filed some very good petitions on the subjects of income tax, the Federal Reserve, abuse of war powers, and the USA Patriot Act. Their attorney, Mark Lane, gave a very good speech at the 2004 Give Me Liberty conference that explained that the right to petition was once more actively pursued than today. But government discourages these petitions. Indeed, the despised petitions may be inconvenient and embarrassing for our public servants, almost to the same degree that petitions are needed. We the People also brought out in the Truth in Taxation hearings, video CD available on their website, that through penury, the selling of a person into perpetual slavery for the payment of debt is... the selling of a person into perpetual slavery for payment of debt is illegal. We do this on a national level via deficit spending and the Federal Reserve. This sells our children into perpetual debt and subservice to the lenders, a contract they had no opportunity to avoid. I look forward to seeing to anything more you can tell us about penury. Thank you for a great show. Chuck." Well, that's a great comment, Chuck. We do, all, of course, support the Bill of Rights, the right to petition. We admire and applaud the work of We the People in trying to help us be freer and try to expose tyranny as it stands through the Federal Reserve, through income taxation and other things and IRS abuses that we've that you mentioned. It's also interesting that you brought up this whole thing about penury. Penury is typically a type of slavery, as I understand it, that is brought about by poverty. A person is essentially in so much debt that he has no choice but to volunteer himself into servitude of a master. And I believe you're right, Chuck, when you say that we have become more and more enslaved to the provisions of the federal government, that they are able to, they believe, take away our rights and deny us our rights that were guaranteed to us by our founding fathers, and that in effect, through their laws of taxation and the military draft and other things that they put on us from time to time, including their environmentalist regulations, their politically correct regulations, their Americans with Disability Act regulations, and so on and so forth, we indeed arrive at a case of serving them. You work half the year for them. You're always looking over your shoulder for them. You work half the year by paying taxes, half your money out in taxes, effectively. And that is a form of slavery, at least a partial enslavement, a house arrest, if you will, where you're allowed to walk a certain distance, perhaps, but not so far, not too far. You have to pay the piper. You have to pay your dues to your true master, which is the federal government. And what a shame this is. All I can tell you, Chuck, is it is a very sad day in America that we live in now, that our forefathers and their ideas have been trammeled on by the generation, the so-called Great Generation. I don't know why they call it that, the Great Blow-It Generation that fought in World War II. Not that they weren't brave in fighting in World War II, folks. I'm not criticizing you for your great efforts, and especially the veterans, but it was your generation that did not stand up against FDR when he took us down the drain. You see, there was still people fighting against the Lincolnites, against the Wilsonites, against the idiocy of Teddy Roosevelt and his policies of his foreign policy, even his domestic policy. Those people were out. There were people out there fighting against this ever since the time of the war between the states, all through World War I. But you folks just laid down and died effectively under FDR. Maybe it's because he tried to starve you to death when the government caused the Great Depression. I don't know. The government did cause the Great Depression, by the way. Just check with Murray Rothbard or other folks, and you'll see that, like Milton Friedman, you'll see why that was indeed the case, bungling of the Federal Reserve and their public policies of protectionism in the 1920s. But beyond that, you folks, when FDR came up with the New Deal, the Banking Act, that took away all of your gold, the Social Security Act, the Works Progress Administration, those things that brought us in the New Deal, you didn't vote against it. You didn't stand up with your guns and shoot these guys. And because of that, we have a 1939 permanent income tax. We have a permanent Social Security tax. It's only gotten bigger. And we've got so-called war programs, wars on poverty and phony wars on drugs, things like that, that continue to violate our rights, rape us of our substance. As Jefferson put it, they come... sending out swarms of bureaucrats to eat out our substance. That's what's going on, because your generation laid down and let us be run over. I'm putting a lot of blame on you. I'm not taking away the blame from Lincoln or Wilson or Teddy Roosevelt or Franklin Roosevelt or the others who were the great liberals or the modern leftists, but I'm saying that the people did not respond as they should have, and really it was not those of us who weren't born yet. It was not the baby boomers' responsibility. It was the great generation's responsibility, the one beforehand. Those of you who started admiring socialism and all those great protections and securities you get from a communist state and a socialist kind of state, well, you got it now, folks. You've got the loss of liberty. You've got a tyrannical state on the rise. And that's what we're here fighting against at the Tyranny Response Network. We're up against a break again. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans and need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Welcome back into the show, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You can reach us at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can also send us your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. Make sure to visit the website, policyofliberty.net. Tell your friends about it. Tell your friends about the webcast. Currently have about just 3 listeners still listening on the Tyranny Response Network's webcast. Love to have more people listening to that nationwide and anywhere around the world. Go ahead and tune in through the webpage, policyofliberty.net. Click on the link that says live. Chuck also has a comment here, a question that was sent in on Social Security. And we'd like to read that. It says, "Hi, John. You had a caller last week asking if it would be okay to accept Social Security since he paid in, so-called paid in. You replied that to do so would be to perpetuate theft, and I agree. Still, it is a nagging question of how the legal privilege of accepting that resource might be put to some proper use. What if he were to create a bank account that accepted Social Security and was used only to pay taxes on other income? Wouldn't that be sort of a short-circuiting of a raft of unconstitutional and immoral schemes? Still enjoying your show, and kudos to your production volunteers. Well, hope you're not teetering on the edge, about to fall back and not enjoy the show, Chuck. But yes, kudos to all the production volunteers. They do a great job. We have a great staff here of volunteers at the Tyranny Response Network. And we do hope that you'll support the show financially, prayerfully, or with any resources or time that you might have. If you can help, send us some questions or send a note to us at questions@policyofliberty.net, and we'll put you to work. In terms of your question, Chuck, it is always theft to receive any welfare state transfer when funds are extorted from one party in order to give to another party. That's the bottom line fact of the matter. And some libertarians, for instance, will say, well, it's okay. I don't mind stealing from somebody else. I don't like them stealing from me, and I want the policy to stop. But since the system's in place the way it is, since theft abounds, I'm going to go ahead and steal too. That's the typical libertarian position that I've encountered from the many libertarians I've talked to, and many people in general. Many people in general have no idea about how the economics works or how these policies work of welfare redistribution. They just know that the government can give them money just like anybody else, and they don't realize where it comes from. So that's the common man. But if you have the nagging question about the moral issue can you just sort of bank this stuff, these funds, and then use them to pay your own taxes later? The answer, I think, has to still be no, at least in the longer run. If you are able to do it in the short run, I think you can make a justification for it. In other words, if you were to apply for a benefit like a Social Security check or a Pell Grant and immediately get that check in your hand, sign it over to the back, pay to the order of Internal Revenue Service or Treasury Department or whatever they pay things to, and then send it in with a bill you have at the same time to them, I think you can make a justification for doing so, because before they actually have a chance to rob somebody and fund the check, you're actually turning it around against them. I don't know if that's practically possible to do, but in theory, I guess you can make a case for that. The problem you have with banking the money is, as soon as you start accumulating and it piles up in your bank account, essentially someone out there is becoming a victim so that you can pay your tax bill. He's being robbed effectively so that you can pay or you can be extorted from and pay your tax bill. Someone else is doing it for you. And I see no different than you just going ahead and spending the money. Someone else has to be robbed for it, and we just can't do that, especially not as Christians. Now, non-Christians, they don't have so many scruples as we do, but the Bible says very clearly to us, you who stole, in Ephesians, you who stole, let him who stole steal no more. We are not entitled to be able to steal from other people, even if we have good intentions, good causes, good rationale. We can use the money better than they can. I'm being robbed and harmed by somebody, and therefore I deserve to steal from somebody else. These things are just not sufficient justifications for a Christian action. We cannot behave this way and live righteously before God. Many Christians do this activity, and you hear preachers condoning it. I mean, as we said in other shows, they'll be the first ones to tell you going to a movie is sin. Did you see an R-rated movie? Well, that was sinful. You fell out of whatever. You did something wrong, or you drank something, or like a glass of wine, and that was sinful. But and there may be other little things. Those are my two pet peeves. I probably mention those more often than not, because I think about those things around Greenville as being popular pet sins that people hold to. But yet, it's okay, as far as a pastor is concerned, for someone to rob somebody else. Well, it's legal. It's not. Well, so what? What does it matter if something is legal? Does that have anything to do with whether or not it's moral? Were Hitler's actions or Stalin's actions legal? Yes. Were they moral? No. Is abortion legal? Yes. Is it moral? No. It doesn't really make any difference, folks, that something is legal. It doesn't matter that you can receive welfare checks or Pell Grant checks or Social Security checks legally. What matters before God is whether or not it's moral and whether it's right and whether it's just. And it is, frankly, wicked and unjust. I don't know how else to put it. Again, somebody's going to say, oh, you're being negative. Well, I'm sorry. Somebody's got to call a spade a spade here, folks. There's too many people out there just telling you to go ahead and continue in this sin. There's too many churches full of people practicing and living in the sin of receiving Social Security checks or welfare checks. It is not right to do so. I don't care how many platitudes or justifications you want to heap up to make yourself feel good about it by receiving welfare, by receiving a check from the government of a welfare redistributive policy, you're robbing somebody else indirectly at the hands of a legalized theft done through the vicious state which we live under. I don't know how to put it more plainly than that. Appreciate the email, though, Chuck, and I hope that helps to some extent. And I appreciate your willingness to do what's right and be and uphold the moral side of things. Again, the platitude of the justification of short-circuiting the raft of unconstitutional and moral schemes, it just isn't enough justification for us to rob somebody else. But do write in again. Appreciate the keeping up the input in the conversation about this. Let's be thinking Christians, and I appreciate the fact that you are. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. We're coming up with a quick break on the Tyranny Response Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN. Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
We hope we've made your day a little better today here, thinking wise and otherwise, at the Tyranny Response Network. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview. Just reminded of Elizabeth writing in, the homeschooling mother who can't wait to turn on our show every day and listens with her young children, and her 2-year-old especially loves to hear that bumper music and that theme. Kudos to our production staff. We have a great deal of volunteer experts who know how to make this show sound great. And they do such a good job creating all these little spots and bumpers for the show. And we're glad that we're entertaining the 2-year-olds of the world so that mom isn't so distracted by the 2-year-olds' activities and, indeed, can listen to the Tyranny Response Network, to listen to this show and be edified by it and help her think better and be more reasonable and thoughtful in her practice as a Christian and as a true patriot, one who loves liberty and supports the vision of the Founding Fathers. We have another article sent in to us today entitled Caesar and War, Topic: The Apologetics in the Void. This was sent in by Greg, I believe, or perhaps this was sent in by Mark. I think this was sent in by Mark. I got my senders mixed up here. Caesar and War, it says, Dear visionaries, I too have hope for a smooth ride in Iraq. This is by theonomist Douglas Wilson. I believe it's right to call him a theonomist. At any rate. But there is a difference between Congress declaring war and Congress abdicating its assigned responsibilities. Congress could issue a statement that the federal budget could originate this year in the Supreme Court. Doesn't make it right. Constitution. The Constitution doesn't say that Congress declares war unless the Congress decides to let someone else do it. I don't understand why so-called progressives can't live with their own principles. The right to be kept out of the shadow courtrooms is guaranteed by a living document. All that fair trial stuff actually means something else now. New era, change with the times, go with the flow. If we agree the Constitution is a living document, this means it is actually dead and malleable. Always, what this means is that the folks I saw marching on the federal building the other day must be guilty of treason and sedition. I suggest that they all turn themselves in ipso pronto at the federal building for processing off to Guantanamo. As Pogo put it, we have met the enemy, and he is us. If it is the Constitution, if the Constitution says that Congress is to declare war, not the President, and this is blown off as a bit of constitutional arcana, then why is not the First Amendment equally arcane? The Second Amendment, or more to the point, the Ninth and Tenth. The bad news is that when you make something malleable, as progressives have diligently sought to do in the Constitution for generations, you one day wake up to find that a malleable Constitution can stretch in any direction, left or right, up or down. It is not enough to shrill in a discontent way about the consequences. It is necessary to see how those consequences have arisen. Caesar has declared war. I don't know why those who made him Caesar don't want to follow him. The Constitution says, Article 1, Section 8, the Congress shall have power to declare war. Cordially, Douglas Wilson. Well, interesting article, and it relates in many ways to the Christian worldview. First of all, what is our response to public policy as Christians? Should we be informed? And if we're informed, I think so, we should be informed. Should we then go to the Congress via our emails and letters and so forth and tell them that we're not happy that they're allowing tyrant king President George Bush to declare war by himself in Iraq and soon to perhaps be Iran, North Korea, and go ahead and wage war using his military machine to increase his power and increase the prestige, the policing of the world, and all these other rationalizations that are used, or what's the other one, installing democracy, fomenting democracy in these other countries, whatever that means. At any rate, when are we going to complain? Why don't we stand up? And as Christians, do we have an obligation to do so? I think we do. Some people don't think it's right for Christians to be involved with the political process in any way, but I think the least thing we can do is try to stop the spread of evil. I don't expect anything good to ever come out of the state, unlike perhaps Mr. Wilson does, but I will say this, that I want to be involved with any way, with a little bit of effort, to try to stop the state from expanding its wicked reach and pummeling my rights. And not only that, but expanding its own tyranny that defy the rights of other good people elsewhere in the world. So we need to stand up as Christians. It's part of the Christian worldview to have self-defense. But the first person you have to think about defending yourself against is your own state, folks. Look a little bit into history and find out that your greatest worry is not that Muslim fundamentalists are going to come over here and start preaching their ways, or even come over here with their long curly knives and start chopping off your heads if you don't convert. They are a threat. There's no question about it. But the greatest threat you face historically has been the state. It's the small gradualist incursions of collectivist Christians that subvert your Christian worldview and turn it on its head, that take away your children from you and turn them into little statists, that turn people away from the path and the way of righteousness into the path and the means of death. It is the state, folks, that in its government indoctrination programs, in its regulations, in its controlling programs for how you should behave, the proactive policies that tell you you need to register for the draft, or you need to wear a seatbelt or a helmet, or not have a gun that has too many bullets in the clip, or in California under great Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, not to have a 50 caliber rifle. These kinds of policies, folks, change your behavior and twist them towards the direction of the left, of the secular humanist, of the admirer of the state, and turn you out of the way of freedom, of truth, and righteousness. This is your enemy, folks. Don't be so worried about the Muslim terrorists as you do about the terrorists you have in your own White House and your own Congress. These are the people that are ultimately going to have the most effect on your lives and historically have proven to be the greatest enemy of the church, free people, and civilization. I don't know how I can put it much any more plainly than that, folks. These people who are of the collectivist mindset want to bring you into poverty, misery, fear, war. That's what the results of the collectivist state are. It always has been that way. Prosperity has come from where? From the new social inventions of FDR, of Lyndon Johnson, from the great admirable acts, quote unquote, of Abraham Lincoln? I don't think so. They came from the foundation that this country began, and that's liberty. We have liberty of actions, of private property, and of the rights to do what we want to do without harming other individuals. That's the bottom line, folks. You need to promote that. We need to stand against tyranny, the tyranny home, not just the tyranny abroad. Appreciate the comments of Doug Wilson and all those who send emails to the show. Make sure to send the sources where those informational pieces come from so we can cite them in case other people want to verify them or look them up and use them on their own. You've been listening to the Tyranny Response Network. We've enjoyed having the show today and having you listen in. We hope to see you again tomorrow. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview signing off and wishing you God's blessings on your day.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.